I'm Alex Chadwick, back with Day to Day and the conclusion of our series Beyond Prison. This is the story of a young man named James Gilbert. He spent years in detention centers, drug rehab places, and prisons. He was there for more than a decade. He was last inside a few years ago and was released at the age of 22. At least he'd learned to use his time. He took psychology classes, studied computers, and rebuilt a fragile relationship with his parents. But his friend and cellmate, Mike Guglielmo, the guy James credits with turning his life around, remained locked up.
I remember the day I left, Mike gave me an address and a way to contact him. Because obviously I can't mail him direct. I was going to be on parole. He was going to be inside. You know, that's not legitimate behavior. And I can understand and appreciate why.
New Hampshire Public Radio's Dan Gorenstein now has the conclusion of the James Gilbert story. First, here's more from Mike and James.
He handed me this piece of paper and he says, Jimmy, he says, I've been doing this a long time. He says, but this is the acid test of friendship. I says, the acid test? I says, well, what do you mean?
The acid test of prison friendship is whether or not you ever hear from that person again. You know, because people always say, you know, I'm going to do this for you, I'm going to do that for you, yeah, whatever. You know, when I get out, don't worry, I'm going to raise you, I'm going to take care of you, whatever, yeah, whatever. Because people say it all the time, you never hear from them again.
You know, within the first 3 weeks that I was out, wrote a letter, got a letter back.
Mike had served almost like a parent to James in prison. Now James had to get that support from his family. But the last time James had gotten out of an institution, the juvenile detention center, he hadn't been allowed home. This time, his parents welcomed him.
That, I think, was the point where the relationship with my parents really changed. And when it got to the point where they said, yeah, we'll take him home. You know, where they actually put themselves out there and took a risk and actually brought me home. You know, versus all the times when I was a kid where that didn't happen. I mean, how could I say no?
But while his parents saw a clear transformation in their son, prospective employers just saw another ex-con.
When I first got out, I worked at a company called Weathervane. It was a seafood restaurant. It was a really horrible job. I mean, it was stinky, hot, sweaty. And I'm an intelligent guy. Most people that were working there weren't really people who I saw. Either they were young kids or they were older people who kind of just were stuck doing what they were doing. And you're treated differently. They would want to put you in the crappy positions, whether it was pots and pans, or they would have you clean the grease traps, or they'd have you scrubbing fryolators. Well, they had other people doing the work that would be more desirable.
James went through several dead-end jobs, and when he finally had the chance to apply for a job as a computer salesman, he hid his past. He didn't mention prison in the first interview or the second. For a month, James strung the company along. Finally, the interviewers called his bluff and challenged him to explain the 3-year gap in his work history.
So I told him, I said, you can either lay it all out here on the table, or I could tell you a story how I was in college for 3 years, and I dropped out of school, that's why I don't have my diploma, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, here's the deal. I was like, you know, when I was young, I made a mistake, and I got arrested for selling drugs, and I did it a little bit of time. Now I'm out, and I'm here. Want to judge me on that? You can, if you want to look at the interviews prior before you had this knowledge and you were looking at me as an individual and as a person with a skill set that could be an asset to your company, then we could go that route. And we'll think about it. And they called me back probably 3 or 4 hours later that day and hired me. And I've been here 4 years now.
While James was securing his job back at prison, Mike received a sentence reduction hearing. Mike invited James, now out on parole, to speak on his behalf.
I got up, I introduced myself, and I was like, I'm James, I was Mike's cellmate. And I don't know what else to say, you know what I mean? I said, Mike's always had a goal of helping other people succeed and making changes. And I says, now I'm a successful sales rep at a computer company. And I says, I've been doing well for myself. And I was like, I don't think that I would have had all that if he wouldn't have had an impact on me. And I was like, stuttering my speech, and I couldn't talk, and my thoughts weren't straight. So I felt like an idiot and sat down quickly.
That was the acid test right there. He stood up in a court and said, I lived with that man in a cell, and because of him, I'm a different person. Stood right up in open court and said that to a judge in front of a whole room full of cops that hated my guts. The karma repaid. When he stood up, to me it was like, when Al Pacino was yelling everybody down in Scent of a Woman, right? When he was on stage going, you're all a bunch of dogs and you got a ship of rats and you're all going to sink, right? And after he said, this is a man right here. And I go to war with him. And he said, ooh-ah! That was like, you know, when James did that, it was like, ooh-ah! Yeah, there you go, right in your face. I did something good. I changed somebody in your system that you couldn't.
Mike got his early release. Since then, Mike and James have managed well for themselves. Mike has his own siding company, owns a house, and supports a family. He achieved this, he points out, in spite of what Mike calls the felon's scarlet letter.
We rehabilitated ourselves, or more properly, habilitated ourselves, and had become, you know, productive members of society. Although many doors in society are continually slammed in our faces. For instance, me, I tried to, you know, I have a master's degree. I tried to get jobs in law offices and everywhere. Didn't even get a call back. You know, as soon as I see felon, you're all done. So I had to start my own business to make any money because no one's going to give me a break.
James lives in a one-bedroom apartment in New Hampshire's Upper Valley. On nights and weekends, he's a volunteer firefighter and EMT for his town. He'd like to get his record expunged, but even if that happens, he at times can't avoid bumping into his past. One night, a call sent his EMT team to the house of a former school teacher.
I walked into a couple nights ago, actually. I walked into my teacher's house on an EMT call, and I was the first one in the front door. And the look on his face was just like shock, confusion, and terror all at the same time. This is the guy who's going to be treating his mother.
James says he likes those moments, when he gets the chance to prove to people, like his old school teacher, he isn't the person they thought he was. For NPR News, I'm Dan Gorenstein.
If you missed earlier parts of the Beyond Prison series, they're at our website, npr.org.